We're not the only three here this morning. I know there's a few more people in here that the first time God really moved on you, the first time you knew that God was truly real and that God was birthing something you never ever felt before. And you were thinking about what God was going to do, and you heard, maybe not audible, but something in your spirit, that God's going to do something in me, through me, or for me. Did you hear what God said about this area of my life? For my home, for my future, for my ministry, for my life. It was a personal thing. I know there are many people here, but God is a personal God who personally wants you to know that he cares about you and that he loves you. Did you hear what God said he was going to do in my ministry? Did you hear what God said he's going to do in my marriage? Did you hear what God said he would do it through my abilities and through my talents? Has anyone ever got excited about the word of God before? If you haven't, you say, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. I'm going to tell you right now, if this is all new to you, God wants to. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the trees, the sun, moon, and the stars. He knows you by name, and he wants to also tell you, I got some promises for you too. And maybe the world and your environment has told you you're nothing, you're nobody. Let me tell you, those are all lies. God has a plan, especially with your name on it. There's a song that says there's a blessing with my name on it. I want everybody here to hear what I'm telling you right now. There is a blessing and a word and a gift from God with your name on it. God made you special, and God knows what you are and knows who you are, and he knows where you've been, and all that doesn't matter. He wants to let you know, I'm here for you, to care for you and show you that I had a promise for you no matter where you've been and what you've been through, no matter where you're at, I'm going to do it. As you keep your heart open towards him, he is going to surprise you with something. And you're going to start feeling some urges and some utterances out of your mouth. And faith, and the word I like to use is hope. God is a God that looks at lives that around us, there's so much lawlessness and so much hopelessness. And people have their mind made up that there is no great future for them. Oh, but that's why I love preaching the word of God, because I serve a God of hope. And I tell you, if you're hopeless, you have come to the right place at the right time. God would tell you there is hope for your tomorrow. Someone say amen. Let me tell you, when God is calling you and God is drawing you and God is wooing you, it's the greatest thing there is. Nobody needs to walk alone. Now, when God is drawing you, and God is wooing you, and God is pulling you, let me tell you something. Hear what I say right now. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But prior to understanding that doctrinal key word and that foundational scripture, is to understand that no man can come to the Father except he draws him. So your desire and your hunger, even to feel like you're walking towards God, was not initiated with you. It was a God that wants to reward you and initiate the conversation with you and tell you, if you respond to my leading, if you will respond to my drawing, I want to tell you, I'm not a God of empty promises. When you accept what I'm trying to do in your life, let me tell you, there's a reward on the other side. And can I stop for a moment to tell every believer in this house, let's stop looking like there is no reward for us. Let's be excited about who we are. Come on, we're not people here that's barely hanging on and trying to make it through life. No, I'm seeking God because there's a reward on its way. I'm excited about who I am in God. I'm thankful that there's a purpose on why I clap my hands, lift my voice, shout and dance, because I am someone who wants a reward from God, and that is okay. I'm living with the expectation that God's about to move. God's about to answer. God is about to restore. Are you excited about being a believer? Believers should be the most excited people on the earth. Every year we have Patrick Mahomes, Brother Marco, the Chiefs are excited. So long as you got Patrick Mahomes in your team and me as a Bulls fan, I don't care how bad we are losing. We got MJ on our team. And if you're a LeBron James fan, the same thing to you. Everything going to be all right. Why don't we bring that over to the spiritual side? We come in here. Oh, God, I'm so bad. Going through so much struggle. I'm going through so much pain. And sometimes we got to just take 45 minutes to hype you up. That's because maybe I'm not preaching it the way I'm supposed to be preaching it. Every time you come in the door, it's, I'm so glad I'm here. It might have been hard out there, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because in this house, something's going to change. In this house, hope is elevated. In this house, there's something that comes over me. I can't even explain it. I tell you, it's the drawing of God. And so we're not here again as perfect people, but we are here as expected people. We don't serve Santa Claus, but somehow, some way, when December 24th comes around, something gets a hold of our children, where you are the sons and daughters of Almighty God, and He's on His way to show up in your neighborhood. He's on His way to show up in your house. He's on His way to perform a miracle and to make a way when there is no way. But with God, all things are possible. Clap your hands if you believe it. So I can't say it enough. I need you to live every day of your life, at least under this ministry, in a position of expectation. Don't you live your life as a beggar. Don't you live your life as a worrywart, or however you pronounce it. I can't say two W's at the same time. But let me tell you, you got to be somebody that says, I don't care how dark the night is. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy is on its way. Joy is coming. My prayers are going to make a way through to heaven. And God spoke a word, and I ain't letting go of that word. I'm holding on to that word. And that's how I believe Abram was excited when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, serving the moon gods and living his life. And one day, out there doing whatever they did back in 5500 BC or whatever, something whispered and called him by name. Abram. Get out of your country, out from your kindred, from your father's house, and I want you to get up and go to a land that I will show you. And if that was a period there and that's all the Lord said, all right, go ahead and walk by faith, I guess. But I wouldn't be that much motivated. And I don't think Abraham would have been that much motivated as well. But the Lord was not done talking to him. What does it say in verse 2? You got to believe this. You're not just here just because you're here. You're being drawn out of the world just because God says, I'm trying to take you from something to something. I need somebody to get a hold of that word. I'm not just saying to waste time. Come on, get out of that place. I want you to get out of that place because you can't stay in that place to get a hold of what I have for you in this place. And on this side, I'm going to bless you. Does anybody just want the blessings of God? Does anybody just want the favor of God? Does anybody just want the anointing of God on everything you put your hands on? Well, let me tell you, he says it. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing. People might call you, excuse me, in the pulpit, a screw up, a mental case,
crazy basket, whatever words, all the labels that put on your life that caused you to go to the things that you were drawn to, because when you would go to the alcohol and the drugs and the sex, it will give you that temporary relief of what you think you thought you were. But when God begins to speak to you, it changes your mentality and say, I am all that in a bag of chips because I was beautifully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. And not only has he called me out of darkness, he's bringing me into light. And now he's trying to transform my thinking. Yes, I think I will pick up and leave where I am. And I'm going to go to a city whose builder and maker is God. That's why we are here. We are headed somewhere. We are headed to a better place this morning. Sarah, we got to go. God has spoke to me, and he is going to bless us. So let's get out of here. He didn't sit there and drag his feet. The Bible says he departed. He was like, if God spoke something great for me, then I can't stay in this place. I'm going to tell you, this word is not just for Abraham. It's for you right now. He's saying, you can't stay where you've been. There's somewhere else he's trying to take you. You've already been there for long enough, and you've never been satisfied. You've been doing that long enough. It never helped you the way you thought it would help you. It only brought you to a lower place. Am I talking to anybody? But when the Lord begins to pull at you, he's not just pulling at you for no reason. He's saying, I got something better for you. You might not understand the journey, but get up and go. I need somebody in your mindset saying this year, you go get up and go. You go follow the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, and you go get all you can because there's a blessing on its way. And when that word happened, the Bible says clearly, it let us know he was 75 years old when he got that word, and he said to him, through your seed I'm going to give you this land. So the blessing I'm trying to get on you, and this is what we need to have more of, is generational thinking. This is an issue in our poorer communities, no matter what nationality you are. In every race, there's a poor community, and the problem is they do not have generational thinking. They only think, let's just survive. But the Bible wants you to get a mentality that I'm not just going to bless you and yours. I'm going to bless the next generation after you. And when you start living your life not just for the next generation, but that generation and the generation after that, that's when you begin to change your mentality and saying, how can I stay here? Because if I stay here, then my children will stay here and we will miss out on what God wants to do. So I got to change that mentality that says I'm stuck and say, no, I can now do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And my tomorrow go be better. But little Rodney, Devin, and Jaden, your grandkids as well, are going to reap the benefits of me obeying the word of God. And that's for your family as well. Do you hear me this morning? God wants to bless you, your children, children's children. Oh, come on, somebody. You got problems in your home. You got a problem with generational issues. God wants to break it. Did you know, contextually studying scripture a little bit closer, that it was Abraham's father who was actually called first? Terah. And Terah left Ur and went to Haran. And then that was the halfway point from the Ur of Chaldees to Canaan land. But Terah stopped at the halfway point. Why does Pastor Barlow, Sister Barlow, and leadership team push so hard? Maybe you don't think that, but sometimes I feel like I'm pushing you guys so hard. There's a reason. There's a rhyme to the madness. It's that we cannot stop in Haran. I'm so glad. This is probably the biggest crowd we had since COVID-19, and I give God all the glory for it. But don't you think for one moment we are satisfied with what we have here right now. We're not stopping at the halfway point. God wants to heal more bodies. God wants to save more souls. God wants to change more lives. God wants to turn more people around. And we ain't going to stop until we get there. We're not going to stop till every backslider comes to an altar and repents. We're not going to
to stop until everybody in this city hears the gospel. That's why we're not playing around. But I didn't come here actually to focus our attention on Abram. I want the majority of our focus to be on someone else that was there during this entire process. Is it okay if I take my time? I want to focus on Sarai, Abram's wife. I'm sure she was excited as well. I mean, she was 65 when all this happened. And I'm sure before she heard about all of this, she had come before the word of God. Hear me. Before the promise. She was barren. But I'm sure by the time she was 65, she came to grips. I get it. I'm barren. I'm not going to provide children. We'll make the best of what we have right now, Abraham. I'm not even concerned about it anymore. I'm past my childbearing years. And so they probably got along just fine. We'll enjoy the best life we can. I'm not going to be depressed about something I can't control. I'm not going to be depressed about something I have no control over. The devil is trying to depress many of you about things you have no control over. Let me tell you, when I'm broken and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Let me tell you, there is no place where you have to stay in depression. You can come and lay before a God that loves you and cry in his arms, and every one of his tears are stored in a bottle. It's all right to cry and say, Lord, I'm out of control, but I know you are. But whether you fix it or not, I humble myself before your presence. But when Abram came to her and told her what he had heard from the Lord, the one true God, oh, her excitement had to be there right along with her husband. She was delighted to pack up everything and move. She had no problem with helping in the process because she was about to have something she never thought she could possess. She was going to be a mother. Are there mothers here that how excited you were when you heard? Hopefully. I know there's sometimes there's drama behind it. I get it. Some of you had twins unexpectedly. We talked to somebody this week who had twins twice. I'm glad all the kids are downstairs. Hallelujah. We love you, children. How could we imagine the smile on her face when she said, are you serious? You heard from this God that says we're going to have a child in our old age? Let's go. From that moment on, of course she thought, smooth sailing from here. Barren all these years. You hear a word for us to leave. My goodness, our life is going to be so much better now. Unfortunately, we find real quick that wasn't the case at all. Now I want you to hear me this morning, because what Sarai went through in the next chapters right here in Genesis relates to each and every one of us as it relates to where we are in position of commitment, dedication, and obedience to God. And what God wants us to do, and we've here, and we have this view of how things are going to turn out from here, but I hear a word from God, but somehow things change so fast. When I sell out, and I sell everything, and I go where he wants me to go, and I give my heart and my life to him, I think everything is going to be better now, but all of a sudden, immediately, can I tell somebody even this morning that maybe you made your mind up to be baptized in Jesus' name? I'm not going to give you an empty promise here. When Jesus spoke to his people, his disciples, he said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, deny yourself. And the reason we have too many weak Christians is because everybody's preaching this prosperity doctrine that the minute you give yourself to him, everything goes perfectly. And that's not the truth. Sometimes living for God is hard. Can I tell you that this morning? Can I be honest this morning? When you listen to the voice of God, sometimes it's going to be difficult. I'm not selling you a false religion. I'm telling you the truth.
that God will give you a word, and in the next chapter, your world falls apart. Can I be real? The next chapter, they go to a land, and immediately there's a famine. God, where we were at before, it rained all the time. Plenty of milk and sugar and cookies and everything else. And now we go where you want us to go, and there's no rain. And they have to keep on moving south. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting a blessing. I was expecting abundance when I gave my heart to him. Now famine, okay. Now wait a minute. What do you want me to say? Whoa, I know I'm your half-sister. But that's being a little deceptive. I'm your wife, and I'm the one that's supposed to be having your promised child. You don't think that God gave you that promise for you to be killed by these people, do you? I understand you think that us telling this lie will be better off, and you'll be better off to ensure your safety. Very well. I'm your wife. I'm in your submission. I do what you ask me to do. And sure enough, Genesis chapter 12, same chapter, by the way. And it came to pass, verse 14, when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Are you kidding me? We were doing just fine in Canaan. You gave me this promise. I picked up everything. And now, who knows what is going to happen to me under this person? I don't even know. Can you imagine how Sarah felt? Excited one moment, and in a foreign land the next moment, and now her husband just handed her away. When you told me I was going to have your child, how can I have your child when you're giving me over to another man? And I'm in a horrible position. Now, what we cannot forget is that God is always watching all the stupid stuff we do. You see, we think that God somehow did not have a plan in advance when we mess it up with our stupid plans, our stupid decisions, and our dumb ways. Let me tell you, God did not leave Abraham nor Sarai, even though they made a dumb decision. He has a plan, and he will not allow our dumb thinking and our weaknesses to stop his plan. His plan is bigger than you. Have you ever thought about that? That God is bigger than you. I know you made some dumb mistakes. I know you made some wrong turns. I know you could go back and you wish you could change some things around. And there's some things you regret. But can I tell somebody, God is bigger than you. When he's called you, he knows your foolishness and mine. He knows your mistakes. He calls you anyway. Can I stay here for a while? I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Man, we all, me included, have the natural ability to mess stuff up. Every time I try to fix stuff, especially mechanical, I always make it worse. I don't know how many times he's been back our house fixing stuff I messed up. Can we be honest? This was stupid, idiotic, what happened here. But what I want us to notice is that God does not allow the idiocy of one man to stop what he's already put in motion. God's bigger than your mistake. Y'all don't even understand what I'm saying. Am I talking to anybody here that understands you have messed up, but God don't give promises based on how good or bad you are?
God's promises are not based on how one way you're good and one way you're bad. God loves you unconditionally. And if he's promised you anything, God's going to do it. Whether you mess it up or not, God says, I am God, not you. Oh, that's a word for somebody here today struggling with your faith in God because you think you messed it up. Messed up your marriage, your home, your money, your health. You messed it up, and don't you lie about it. It is your fault. Your stupid thinking, your selfishness, your greediness, and your pride put you exactly where you are right now. That's right, Abraham. But your dumb self, giving your wife away, the wife of promise. Oh, you've gone against the way of the word of the Lord because of your own thoughts, your own insecurities, your own whatever, and mine included. But the God I serve, somehow, some way, intervened. I can't explain how we did it. It don't even make sense when I try to study it, that all the women's wombs were shut up and that God sent a plague to a whole group of people that weren't even in the wrong. Can I tell you the Holy Ghost is talking right now? God go mess people up that had no fault in your actions, but God favors you over them because you're a child of God. I need somebody to understand that thinking. Yeah, I know you messed up, but God go mess up some people that didn't even mess up because you're blessed by him. That's how you walk when you're walking in the blessings of God. Don't hear what I'm saying. That's why I'm trying to get you on this side, because when you're walking on this side and the hand of God is on your life, there are perks in the kingdom of God. Y'all ain't hear me. I'm talking about kingdom stuff. That's where we got to go to, kingdom thinking. God gonna bless me in spite of my mess. God. I need someone to hear what I'm saying. You've been holding out on your full giving and sacrifice to God because you feel you're not worth it. I'm trying to change your thinking. God wants to bless you in spite of your mess, in spite of your mess ups. Why? You are his child. I don't know how you treat your children. I don't know how you were treated, but my parents didn't throw me out when I messed up, and nor do I throw out my kids when I mess up, when they mess up. And God's trying to help somebody this morning and say, I'm trying to bless you. I will mess some people up if they mess with you. Look at verse 17. The Lord plagued Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh do? He was innocent, but God plagued the innocent because of Sarah. I put my hand on her. If I put my hand on somebody, I'm not going to let anybody just touch them any old way. I'm going to block stuff that you cause. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Is there anybody understand that God promises that I will block stuff that you cause? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And God is telling somebody, don't you allow your circumstances to make you think I can't get you out of the thing you put yourself in. Pastor, it was my fault. And I would say, yep. A lot of y'all come to me acting like I'm supposed to do a miracle when you make dumb decisions and don't listen to your pastor. Brother Devon, why are you waving your hands back there? Why are you waving your hands? Am I telling the truth? Josh, am I telling the truth? Marco, am I telling the truth? That's not all of it. You're here right now. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Josh, you're here right now. Timon, you're here right now. Marco and all of us here, we're here right now. Have you been always good? Have you done always right? Have you made all the right decisions? Absolutely not. But the hand of God is on you. The hand of God is on you. The hand of God is on you. Come on, somebody give God a praise that his hand is on your life. I gotta move. So God brings them out. God makes a way. And how exciting. Okay, maybe a new chapter. Maybe things will turn. God says, I'll show up and I'll fix your mistakes. And he gets them out of there. That was good. All right, we're good. Nope. Next chapter. We find that Lot's men, which was his nephew, and Abram's men were fighting, so Lot had to separate from Abram. Long story short, he ends up leaving, but then he gets kidnapped. Lot gets kidnapped. And here's Sarai with her old self and her husband with his old self. Abram has to take, think about it, really think about the scripture. It says there were five kings that stole his nephew Lot, and Abram and his 300 trained servants. Wait, Abraham, you was a general? Thought you was a farmer. So you and your 300 men that you trained with some sticks and some staffs are going to try to take over an army that kidnapped an entire city? See, we don't think of it. We just read the story. We don't look at it. No. 300 people against five kings? That's suicide. And Sarai is left behind. Have your husbands ever went somewhere and you were worried sick to be by yourself? Have any husbands ever left and the wives, you don't want them to go? Am I talking the truth? Why couldn't she feel that way? Here I am barren, old, and you're about to go fight, and you older than I am. And you're not taking an army. You're taking 300 other people you trained. You don't even know what you're doing. And I seen y'all practice all out of formation, all out of beat. Y'all don't even know how to count right. Hut, two, three, four, one. Y'all a mess. And here you are trying to rescue somebody you have no business rescuing. But he goes, and she's worried. But guess what? Whew, he comes back. It's victorious again. But just because we're victorious now doesn't mean I haven't been crying. Doesn't mean I haven't been weeping and worrying about the whole situation. This is messed up. I thought we came here for some good stuff. And now, how about simply bringing the original promise? Okay, to get better. Next chapter. God renews his promise to Abram. Abraham believes God. It's counted to him as righteousness. Sarah did not get that same renewal at that time. God spoke to Abram, but God didn't speak to Sarah. Sometimes God speaks to somebody else, and they're all doing good, and here you are looking like, why can't you speak to me? Am I talking to anybody? Am I talking to anybody? Over here still so-and-so shouting and dancing and praising God, and you like, can I feel something? Abram gets to hear the promise again. Abram gets to be renewed, and he puts his faith in God, and then he's called righteous. And Sarah's like, I didn't hear nothing. I didn't get the same renewal, and now in the next chapter, things get even worse for her. It's been 12 years, if my math is correct, and still no promise. I'm 72. And the whole time, it's been nothing but drama. Maybe it's not Abram that's the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. God spoke to him. He's all excited. But maybe I'm the one blocking the promise. Maybe it's my fault. Is it fair to say that she felt that way? That the reason why they're going through, maybe there's something in her. I think we can relate to that. God hasn't answered yet. God hasn't fixed it yet. So what do? We go in the mirror and we begin to look at ourselves in a negative connotation. And we're going to point our fingers at ourselves. And when bad things happen to us, we say it should happen. We punish ourselves. And we sabotage situations, don't we? We sabotage things. Sabotage is somebody on the inside messing it up.
And we say it's us because we're so insecure. We don't understand why we have to wait so long for what we thought should be. God hasn't come through yet, so we take our eyes off of what God says and we look to ourselves and we begin to evaluate things very inaccurately. Everything you do by yourself is going to be inaccurate. You're going to think wrong. Your emotions are telling you lies. The heart is exceedingly deceitful. It looks right. It's not. Analyze our flaws and our mistakes. Why is God holding up on his promises? I got an idea. It must be me. Many nights I cried. Many nights I mourned. Trying to figure all this out. I know the problem. It's not. I'm the problem. So what we'll do is, chapter 16, verse 1. Now Abram's wife bare no children. She had a handmaid, though, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai, not Abraham, Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, the Lord has restrained me."
What? Whoa.
Abram, here's my revelation. I've been praying all night. Don't you love people coming to you and say, "God said"? And you like, "God ain't said nothing on the fashion." "Behold, the Lord hath restrained me." It's God's fault that I'm restrained. So if God is restraining me, let's figure something else out. That it may be, I may obtain children by her because culturally it's acceptable. How many things right now in culture is trying to move in the church because it's culturally acceptable? And God forbid, it's a dangerous place if the church starts to get in a position that culturally it's acceptable. So why we cannot do it ourselves? We listen to culture, and if culture says it's all right, then it's all right for us to operate. And that's a big sin when the church begins to look at the world for validation about stuff that we do or don't do. We can never be a people that look to things that we do and then ask ourselves, is it culturally acceptable? We don't base our teachings and our beliefs with a loving heart based on what culture says. And we all would be in a bad position if our initial reaction, what does the government say about it, before we look at what the word. I'm not here to bash nothing and be hard on anybody. Talking principles right here. But you showed me yesterday that on Disney Plus they have some movie called Out, and there is a man kissing a man right there on the cover for our children to look and click on it when they're watching their Disney. Let me tell you, we still say that the sin is still wrong. We're not saying the sinner has to be hated. We love the sinner. We will pray for the sinner. We will pull for the sinner. But God still says homosexuality is still wrong. It was wrong back then, and it's wrong today. And let me tell you why. In the beginning, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In his sight, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve. And we're not on our high horse. We're not on some soapbox saying, go out there and harm them. No, we're not. You better love every person who's confused. You better show the love of God to them. You better not condemn them, bash them, or say anything hateful to them. But you must tell them in love, God is not pleased with your lifestyle and your life choices. And we as a church must be a light in the middle of a world of darkness. I know what the culture says, but we don't believe it. And we don't believe it because it's not God's order. Marriage is sacred. But have you ever been broken, though? Come on, people. Why did she do it? She randomly just got up and said, you know, I think I got a good idea. I think I do this mess. Do you do that? Do you plot your sabotage? Or is your sabotage based on some root hurt you're dealing with? Are you hearing me? You don't wake up and plan your demise. It happens because there's something going on the inside. Hurt and issues and unacceptance. And we hit it last week, maybe unloved. And so here is Sarah all these years. What's going on? Please hear me today. I'm not condemning your mistake. You made your mistake because you were dealing with stuff. I'm not excusing it. I'm explaining it. There's a difference. You got caught up in that world of drugs and abuse and gangs and whatever you got involved in because there was a deeper issue going on, and that was a manifestation of the issue that was really going on. It wasn't a sin. It was the issue that you didn't know how to deal with. And because you did not know how to deal with the issues, you did what was culturally accepted. And drugs are culturally accepted. They're legalizing it like it's French bread. Because culturally, things are being dumbed down. We don't want people to take responsibility. Did I just cuss in the pulpit? I said the R word. But the R word is a cuss word in culture. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions. But if you don't take responsibility for your actions, you can't fix your mess. Own up to your mess and say, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change my decisions. I'm going to change my actions. You are not stuck. I get so tired of that. If you got God, you're not stuck. He can help you. He can help you. He can help you. He can fix your heart. He can fix your mind. He can fix your abuse you dealt with as a young person. He can help all the mental issues you got going on. And Lord knows we got them, but there's a God that says, I'll help you when you can't help yourself. So Sarah, I get it. You were hurt. You're broken. You thought that's the only way you could fix it. So if I force it, that's a better word. Acceptable. And then she did it. Abraham did it. And they had conceived. And once Hagar conceived or was pregnant with Ishmael, the Bible says she was despised. God is talking. God is helping us humans understand that sometimes we despise the very thing we created. Hagar was a slave. Hagar didn't have no choice in the matter. But why are you upset with the thing you created? Have you ever showed evil to things you created? Attitudes to things you made? I laugh when people get mad at the church. I'm like, what did we do? You mad at us? You mad at people here? We help you. What you mad at us for? But she was upset at Hagar, and Hagar helped her. Sometimes as human beings, we have a tendency to hate things that we made. Some of you made your husbands, your wives bitter.
Y'all don't want to be real. Y'all don't want to be real. Y'all don't act like,
Nope. I got to start hitting stuff. You mad at your husband, you mad at your wife, but you made them that way. You gave them the attitude, and they're trying to adjust, and now you don't like what they adjusted to. But aren't you the one that asked them to do what you told them to do, and they've been doing it, and now all of a sudden you don't like how they're changing too, but you made that. You said they were too frugal in their spending, or too liberal is a better word. And they're spending, and they hammer it down, and now you want to spend some money, and they're backing down, and you're mad at them, but you made that. Right, Sister Barlow, talking to me. Just so you guys know, I'm not preaching to just y'all. I'm preaching to me, too. Half the time, I'm preaching more to myself, and y'all get to listen to me talk to myself. Glad you're here listening on my therapy session. She hated what she created. She was mean to the things that she made happen. Next chapter. I'm almost done. God renews the promise again.
to Abram. He's 99 years old. 24 years later from the original promise. But this time, he changes. This time, he doesn't come just to Abram. Now, God in his loving mercy himself didn't double down and say, I'm God. I'm just going to talk to who I want to talk to. God recognized what was going on in Sarai. And this is the God I'm preaching to you today. God recognized that, you know, maybe I shouldn't leave this promise just to the male in the situation, not just to the head, but sometimes I got to touch the weaker vessel as well. And so this time he said, where is Sarai right now? God says, I know some people have been lost, but I'm not going to ask about just the head. Where is the weaker vessel at right now? And I don't mean mentally or physically like that. I'm talking about in the ways of God seeing it. He's not judging you women as a lesser creature. He's saying you are the softer, more delicate vessel. And so God is saying, I am paying attention to the one that has hurts that nobody else sees. So God stopped everything in the middle of going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, wait a minute, Abram, where's your wife? I don't want the promise just to be for you. I need the promise to be for her. God was more intentional to include Sarai in the process. And he says in chapter 17, verse 16, I will bless her and give her, or give thee a son of her. And yes, I will bless her. Before, remember, it was, I will bless you, right? God wants to make it personal to somebody right now. He's not talking to your neighbor right now. He's talking to the hurting one right now. And says, I know you haven't done anything right. You've been called up in messes. You didn't force yourself, but I'm going to bless you too. Someone needs to hear that. God wants to bless you too. God wants to bless you too. You've been in the background. You've been in an environment that you did not put yourself in, and you got caught up in a whole bunch of stuff that you did not find yourself at fault. And somehow, some way, you've been lost in the middle of all that. And God says, I'm going to bless you too. I want you to stand this morning. God speaks to her. But she heard it. I wasn't there, but I can sense it. She laughed. She chuckled. You ever have somebody that gave a nervous laugh because they don't know how to, they don't know what's going on? Sarah's like, do you know what I've been going through for 24 years? All the pain and hurt I've been dealing with? So she laughed. And God called her on it, and she lied to God. But God didn't judge her. God understood her. And we get to our text finally. Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac his son was born unto him. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Isaac's name literally means laughter. I know it's been a long road. I know it's been a long journey. I've been hurt in so many ways I can't even count. But here he is, the promised son. I'm holding him. And I can't stop laughing. I've been crying for a long time. And I've been hurting for a long time. And I've been in darkness for a long time. But right now, I can't stop laughing. Here's the promise. And not only am I laughing, laugh with me. Some of you are going to have a testimony here this year
And you're going to say, I didn't get here easy. But here I am rejoicing in the God of my salvation. And I've been laughing ever since. And I've been smiling ever since. I've been praising ever since. I've been dancing ever since. The joy of the Lord has been on me since I allowed God to do what only He could do. And I'm so thankful. But I don't want to do it by myself. Laugh with me. And what's going to happen in this church?
For the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost. You new people, I love you so much because you know how to bring in fresh blood. What are you doing? You're saying, I know where I was, but somebody gave me a Bible study. Somebody invited me to church. Someone reached out to me, and all the darkness I had, all the confusion I had was behind me. But look at me, I'm laughing. I'm excited. Come on with me. Laugh with me. God is able to heal you. God is able to touch you. God is able to save you. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. Someone raise your hand this morning and say, Lord, cause me to laugh. Make me laugh, Lord Jesus. Help us to laugh again. Force it upon us. Make us laugh. Give us that joy that comes from your promises. Oh, make us laugh. Those that are hurting and weary and lonely, there's a reward for somebody. There's a plan for somebody. There's hope for somebody. It wouldn't be right now if I did not extend a special invitation to somebody that can relate with Sarai. Somebody that felt that you thought you were going the right way. It's only been messy the whole time. But you're ready to laugh. You're ready for joy to come. You're ready for your sins to be removed. You're ready to walk in a new light and let God work in your life. I want us to all pray a prayer of repentance right now. If you're here for the first time, the Bible teaches us that we've got to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does repent mean? Repent means about face. Our first sign up here, we love it. I probably never move that one. I'm thinking of that now. I'll probably leave that one there forever. Moving forward. I mean, no matter where you are right now in the spirit, so long as you're facing the right direction, you're headed in the right direction. And what I want our prayer to be this morning is, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me the things I've done wrong. I want to turn my life around. I want to walk towards you, and I want to move forward. So everyone right now, we're going to do it as a church. Close your eyes. We're going to bow your head. And I want us all to repent. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, for my decisions, for my choices, for my wrong, for my missing the mark. I understand that I am a sinner separated from a holy God. But this morning I turn away from my sin. I say yes to turn my heart and my life towards you. And I'm asking that your blood that you shed on Calvary's tree when you were crucified over 2,000 years ago, I'm asking that same blood spiritually to cover me right now. That's a prayer I want you to pray. Lord, let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood wash me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. That's the first and important step. The Bible also teaches us that you must be born of the water and the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. But what I love about the water is that once I've repented of my sins, there's still a stain on my life. But when you go down in the watery grave of Jesus' name in baptism, all of that sin stain that's still there can be washed away, and you will come up a new creature in Christ. And so if you've not yet been baptized in Jesus' name, but you have put your faith in Jesus, then baptism is necessary. And we have all the clothes and all the things you need back here. But today is your day. If you heard the word of God today, you can be baptized in Jesus' name.
Now, what we do here in this church to make it easy as possible for someone who may want to do that today, turn to somebody. It could be the person you came with and ask them, say, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? And then you answer. Leadership team, help me out here. Turn it down just a little bit. You love what you felt. And that's good that you felt it. But to reap the benefits, you got to be born again. We can continue to teach you the word of God. That's what we do here. But if God is tugging at your heart, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? If you said no, then my question would you to be then, would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? Would you like your sins washed away? If there's anybody, we thank God and we praise God for that. And maybe you're saying, I would love that, but I want to be taught the word of God. We give free home Bible studies. We'll buy you pizza. We'll buy you lunch. We'll buy you dinner. Whatever it takes, we'll do it. But we want you to understand scripturally how to be saved. How many want to be saved? God wants to save you. He wants to save you. And we want to teach you. And we want to help you. And we want to guide you. And he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. One more time, all over this house, I want us to close our eyes. Lord Jesus, there's men and women here that need to be made to laugh. And there's brokenness and heaviness, oh God, that was brought here. But I believe they're leaving with hope. I believe they're leaving with a promise that things are going to be better when we surrender our lives to you. At the end of the day, God, no matter what we face, you're going to make us laugh. And as we laugh, we're not going to keep it to ourselves. We're going to leave this house. And we're going to do what we're doing as we're talking about this year, our goals and our visions. We're going to share this thing. We're going to share the love of God. We're going to share our testimony. We're going to be seeing a position where we tell somebody, come laugh with me. This is what God has done in my life. And I want to share with you. And as we do that, God's will is going to be done. And God's going to supply every need and heal everybody. If you're in that house right now, and I feel led to do this, and you just want special prayer, whether for a healing or a miracle, salvation, a closer walk with him, then I want to give you an opportunity to come down to the altar. And we're going to have our team pray for you and pray with you. And we're believing before you leave, you're going to say, laugh with me. If there's anybody that wants to make that first step and just come down on the altar and say, I need special prayer. I need something a little bit more today that I invite you. I just don't want to leave without giving you that opportunity. If you're here right now and you need something to happen in your life, everyone just close your eyes. We don't make it awkward for anybody. We want everybody to feel totally okay with doing it. And maybe